My name is Alessandra. I am 23 years old, and today's date is August 6th, 2022. I am in the StoryCorps virtual recording booth, and I'm here with Anya, my One Small Step conversation partner.
And my name is Anya, and I am in my 40s. The date is August 6th, 2022. I am in the StoryCorps for a virtual recording booth, and I am here with Alessandra, my One Small Step conversation partner.
Hi, Anya. Hi, Alessandra. Why did you both want to do this One Small Step conversation today?
I wanted to do this because I feel like the world today is deeply divided, and with everything, especially since the pandemic hitting, being most things moving to virtual, I feel like there's not a lot of like personal interactions anymore. And I just want to understand someone else.
Yes, and I agree. I'm here for this pretty much the same reason. I think that the concept of connecting, especially with someone that might have different perspective, is a really cool concept, and we need to have more of it and just have honest conversations and listen to each other. And yeah.
Great. Well, we'll kick off our conversation with the bios that you both shared. So Alessandra, would you please read Anya's bio?
I grew up in Poland in the 70s and 80s. I moved to the U.S. in 1987. I lived with a Russian family and later on with my best friend's family while I went to high school. Independently made my way through college and graduate school. I value independence, self-reliance, and accountability, but also proper supports for those who are facing challenges.
And Anya, would you please go ahead and read Alessandra's bio?
My name is Alessandra, and I'm 23 years old. I was born in Topeka, Kansas, and moved to Wichita, Kansas for college 5 years ago. I was the second person in my family to attend college, and it is my greatest accomplishment. I come from a low-income household. I started working full-time a month after I turned 16. I don't have strong relationships with either of my parents due to their alcohol and substance abuse issues, so I've always been my own biggest supporter.
Thank you both. Is there anything in the bios that either of you would like to begin with a question on?
I would love to know about Poland.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, it's been a while, and I've gone back and visited a few times since I moved to United States. But when I was growing up, it was very, it was a communist country. So very poor, very few resources that people had. Even if you were in a good situation, as far as, you know, maybe income or whatever that meant, relative income, relative to other people, you still struggled. There was just nothing. There were just, like, maybe you've seen images on TV where you would go into a store and the shelves were empty and we had to stand in line for bread. And so when I was there, I certainly just dreamt of coming to America. Like, that was the dream. Right. And but at the same time, Poland has a lot of histories, a lot of wonderful history. I was lucky to live in a couple different places. One was in the mountains. So had very much similar to where I am now in Missoula in Montana, surrounded by mountains and outdoors and just fresh air and beautiful. Spent a lot of time outdoors. And then I lived on and off in Krakow, which is a bigger city and has a lot of history, castles, and just beautiful. So, yeah, that's what it was like before. And now it's very much westernized and has lots of resources and just wealth, maybe. coming from the European Union arrangement. So there's just money allocated to kind of rejuvenate the history and the communities and things like that. So very different.
Yeah. Did you move here with your whole family or did you come on your own?
My dad lived here already for several years before I moved, and I came with my mother. Yeah.
Okay.
So we both came to visit him. Yeah. And then I just ended up staying.
That's great. Yeah. I am half Mexican. My great grandfather immigrated here from Mexico in the early 1900s. So I can definitely resonate with a lot of the stuff that you're saying, even though I didn't experience, you know, moving to a new country for better opportunities myself. My great grandpa immigrated here. So my grandmother, who I love very much, and she's one of my favorite people in the world, she has just always instilled in me just like this gratefulness just for, you know, if while the US isn't perfect by any means, just the fact that, you know, we had food on the table, I was able to go to school, all kinds of things that if they had continued their life in Mexico, living in a very poor situation, you know, I wouldn't have had these opportunities. She wouldn't have had these opportunities. Like, it would just affect our entire family. So I can definitely resonate with a lot of the stuff that you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. I see. Yeah. And you're reading your bio. I felt the same way, especially with the reference to independence and a couple other things actually that I would love to ask you about. But just going with the theme of, you know, what was Poland like? I've driven through Kansas, but I never really stopped. So
yeah,
what are the communities like? What is the community like where you are now and maybe where you grew up?
Yeah, so I live in Wichita, which is the biggest city in Kansas. There's like, I think 500,000 people is the population. It's about kind of like Kansas City, Missouri, if you've ever been there. It's just like a larger metro area. Great food. I'm a foodie, so I love all the restaurants and stuff here. I grew up in Topeka, Kansas, the state capital, which is about 2 hours from Wichita. A bit smaller, not really much to do there. Still kind of a large population, but just not much going on. But a large part of Kansas is, you know, like farming and cornfields. And so people are pretty spread out throughout the state, but we're kind of just a flyover state. Not many people come visit. So,
Yeah. And do you like living there and ever thought about moving anywhere else or?
I do like Kansas. Everyone says in the Midwest, people are nice. And in Kansas, people are, you know, kind. And the cost of living here is pretty affordable compared to some other states. So I don't think I would ever move out of the Midwest, maybe out of Kansas someday, but I don't think I would ever move to like New York. No offense, Julia. And I would never move to like New York or Texas or, you know, Washington or anything like that. I like the Midwest. So yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a gypsy, so I move around a lot and I want to explore as much as I can, you know, before I need to take my life more seriously and finally settle somewhere. So right now I'm still exploring, but I do find Missoula, this area, Montana, just very much, like I mentioned before, reminds me a lot of my hometown and has a really great vibe and has changed my personal views on a lot of things. That's one of the reasons I like this kind of moving around and getting to know different places and different people, because I find it very beneficial to kind of expand my perspective. But yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I love visiting other places. I'm kind of a control freak. And so I don't think I could ever, you know, just pick up everything and move somewhere, you know, to a different state. I do have control issues, but I do love traveling. So I agree with you. I love meeting new people, seeing new places.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just one way, right, of maybe meeting others or learning about other places, but there are so many other ways, you know. Mm-hmm. Just one of the I don't know if I'm lucky, or I don't always feel like this is a lucky part of my life, or something that maybe is always a good thing, is that I don't have a lot of commitments to family. You know, I don't have a lot of family around me, or anyone that I'm that I kind of have a relationship with where I would have to worry about staying in one place, or
I am the same way. I mean, I mentioned it a little in my bio, but I didn't have the best set of parents. I do love my grandma. She's like I said, one of my favorite people in the world. But as far as family, I also don't feel any strong connection really to anyone. I do have a husband, but truth be told, in my mind, he's kind of the only person I really consider my family. So I get you on there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was one of the questions I wanted to ask is, I guess maybe get to know your kind of history brief, or whatever you would like to share, because you mentioned a couple details in your bio about your relationship with parents, but just overall, you know, what was your life like growing up until now, and your experiences.
So I would definitely say the best part of my life was when I moved to Wichita and I went to college. Like, everything after I was 18 years old has definitely been like my favorite part of my life, like from 18 through today, just because I've been able to like do things on my own, not live in a toxic environment. So I grew up, my dad, he's a recovering alcoholic, and my mother is a recovering drug addict. She has struggled with a meth addiction on and off since I was born. My parents were together up until I was like 9 or 10 years old. So I lived in a two-parent household, but then they officially split when I was 9 or 10. And honestly, it was better for me when they divorced, because they were they're both hotheads. And so when they would get together and they would get angry, it would just kind of explode. So I was honestly relieved when they divorced when I was really little. It was better for me, but I mean, even still going back and forth between them, like they had a lot of custody battles over me. And I don't know, my childhood it was just hard. We grew up pretty poor. I come from a low income household. I don't really know. My mom has also been disabled since I was like 11 or 12 years old. She was in a really bad car accident, so she hasn't been able to work for at least 10 years. So I kind of went through phases where I would live with my dad full time, and then other parts of my life where I would live with my mom full time. But I was officially revoked from my mother's custody when I was 16, and I actually almost went into the foster care system, but my dad ended up taking me in, even though he didn't want to. But yeah, I don't really have any good childhood memories, as sad as that is to say. Sorry to bring the mood down, but
you know, when you say that, I mean, I do think that I'm grateful for whatever, you know, the childhood I had, but so much of it, as far as relationships with my parents, it almost feels like I've repressed it. When people ask me, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember details. And then they will pop up randomly. Some of those experiences that weren't so good, and just, I always wonder how they've affected my behavior long term. So I do things that right now I make decisions that aren't always the best. Mm-hmm. And I always keep thinking, like, you know, is it, how is that tied to a thing like, you know, not having really strong relationships with my parents, and then going forward, I don't know, maybe with others as well, just not being able to get attached or whatever it is. One of my questions was, you know, do you ever think about that and how your childhood experience maybe affected your life and who you are right now? Do you think it helped? Do you think it, what were some of the maybe downfalls of it? Or
yeah, totally. I've gone through so many years of therapy, so I feel very prepared for this question. gosh, where to start? So I think it heavily affected, you know, how I grew up and how I am as an adult. I said earlier I was a control freak because as a child I wasn't able to control anything around me. I was mentally and physically abused on a pretty regular basis by both of my parents. So I hate confrontation. I hate when someone's angry with me. I really struggle with authority figures. So that is something that does affect me in my day-to-day job. Because my parents were the authority figures that I always had conflict with. One of the biggest things I would say is that is actually probably, I guess, a good thing to come out of this is I crave stability because I never had it as a child. We were always very poor, and emotional stability is something I never really had from either of my parents as well. So that's something I've always really craved. So luckily I have found stability, financial and emotional stability, with my husband. I mentioned in my bio, I've been working full time since I was 16. I've always been very money conscious. That's one of the reasons I could never just pick up and move to another state, is because I value stability so much. And I love having a regular routine where I just get to, I go to work, I come home, I make dinner, I clean, I go to bed. Like I love having, as boring as it sounds, like I love having that routine. Like, it doesn't bore me. It just makes me so happy inside. So that's definitely one of my favorite things, I guess, to come out of all that. That's a good personality trait, I suppose. And like you mentioned earlier, like independence as well. I rely on my husband, but otherwise I don't really rely on anyone for anything, and I hate asking for help. So
yeah. Well, we definitely, I relate to that part, just asking for help and in any way feeling like I need to rely on somebody else makes me really uncomfortable. And, you know, similar to your experience of kind of leaving, being out of, without the immediate family, you know, at such an early age. When I moved to United States to see my dad, my parents' marriage did not work out. So my dad insisted that I go back to Poland. And he said, you know, you either go back or you can, you're on your own. If you want to stay, then you have to find a place to live. And I was, you know, pretty young and ended up going to live with a family that was, they were immigrants from Russia. They were Jewish, and they just pretty much embraced me and helped me kind of get through high school. And then from then on, I was on my own, like kind of, but again, just with very limited knowledge about resources. So when I say I made bad decisions, I mean, part of it is I just didn't have enough information. But looking back on things, like I never knew, because I was very new to United States, I never knew that I could explore different colleges. In Poland, there was just one university in your city, right?
Oh, wow.
So I thought the one I was aware of was the only one I would go to, right? So that's where I went, and it was a good choice. It was great, but paid way too much money, which led to me being in debt, you know, student loan and things like that. But just little silly things like that I think about, that gosh, I don't know, makes me, I'm just thinking out loud now. The lack of resources or whatever limits you have on information, even, it does affect you, right? So people say like money is not everything, but so many in my life, I feel so many times I feel like, yes, it is. If I could just be able to access more, and a lot of it costs money. And this is looking back on when I was younger, like right now I'm okay. I think I figured things out, but looking back on my life and how many bad decisions I made and could have made better decisions was not to blame the system, but I feel like it's just, I didn't know any better, you know? Mm-hmm. And getting more information would have meant having the resources and having money. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like, especially for people who immigrate here from another country, especially as adults, because it's different when, you know, you come here as a young child, because then you grow up and you learn, you know, the ways of where you live. But especially coming here as an older person or an adult, you don't know, you're given no resources, like you said. So I totally agree. There needs to be, even if you just get like a friend, like a good friend who will, you know, show you around and give you information. I agree. It can be really, really hard to adjust to a new life here. I had in college, I was actually assigned an international buddy. Her name was Rebecca, and she was from Paraguay, and she was amazing. So she studied abroad here in Kansas for a semester, and it was actually the semester that the pandemic hit. So she was here January 2020 through May 2020. So she got a solid 2 months of non-COVID in the United States. But I mean, just like the culture shock that she had just to come in here, because she said in her country, you know, they study American culture a lot. You know, they watch our movies, they watch our TV shows, they speak English, they eat American food, you know, things like that. But she said like she was just not prepared for how things actually were when she came here. And luckily, since she was studying abroad, she had a lot of resources at the college to help her, and, you know, ways to get around town, go to the grocery store, you know, things like that. But it was definitely a rough adjustment for her. And she was only here for a few months. So living here for a lifetime would definitely be difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I am wondering too how those, you know, lived experiences that we've had have informed, you know, our political views, right? Mm-hmm. That's a question that I have.
So I personally, I am very, very, very progressive and very liberal. I can elaborate. what about you?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because for years, I was very conservative. Not very. I would say that I think I would voice opinions that sounded conservative, and I tended to agree with more conservative values. And one of those reasons maybe was things like, you can make it, like anybody can make it if they want to. Like I mentioned, lack of resources, but still, if you really want to, if you're really resourceful and motivated, even if you come from a poor household or whatever your circumstances is, you can get wherever you want. You can be whoever you want. Like that was kind of a strong belief of mine because of some of the barriers I overcome. So I kind of judged people by that. But then I think just within the last several years, maybe 5-6 years, I've really become a lot more balanced. I feel like I still hold on to some of the more conservative values, but I also want made a commitment to just kind of be open and understand the other person's perspective. If it's very liberal, I am willing to just listen and explore. And it has helped me, just asking questions and things like that has helped me really sit with it and be fine with it and understand and be and understand why that the other person has that perspective and not mine. But yeah, and I look at the conservative, I guess my view on it, conservative versus liberal, is really I think we all want the same thing. It's different means of getting there. And some of those ways are better than others. And but I think, you know, the bottom line is, like, I think everybody just wants the world to be a good place, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think everyone, you know, wants to live in a better place, but like you said, they just have different opinions on what a better place is or how to get there. So like for me, I mean, when I say I'm very progressive, I mean, because, you know, growing up poor, having parents who struggled with drug and alcohol addiction, struggling with substance abuse, having to work really hard to get into college, you know, all those kinds of things. I mean, I believe really strongly in you know, funding for affordable housing, funding food stamps and EBT, funding for, you know, mental health, foster care, child care, all those kinds of things. Just because I feel like if there were more funding, more resources, things like that, I wouldn't have had to have lived such a hard life. You know, maybe my parents could have gotten help. Maybe I could have, you know, not been placed with them, you know, all kinds of things. And that's also another reason. I mean, another one of my beliefs, I'm very pro-choice. I think abortion should be legal everywhere. I think it should be easily accessible because, truth be told, my parents should have never had a child. They were horrible. They were addicted to alcohol. They were addicted to meth. They were abusive. And I feel like I don't know how you feel on that issue, but I feel like one of the arguments against it is always, well, you can still give birth, but the child can be placed for adoption or in foster care. But those systems are crumbling as well. And there's not enough houses for children. You know what I mean? So that's another one of the reasons that I am very progressive. I mean, truth be told, I don't think I should have been born. And I mean that truthfully. My parents shouldn't have been given a child at all. So that's one of my strong beliefs.
Especially, well, I don't know if it was only, oh, no. Yeah, we've just gone through this Roe versus Wade scenario, and people feel, and I also am pro-choice for sure. I used to not be. Part of the reason maybe was my Catholic background and being surrounded by people who had very strong beliefs around that. So I was very much influenced, not as much by my parents, because I wasn't close to them, but I grew up also following the time I lived with this Russian family. I moved in with another family that was from Poland, and they were very Catholic. We went to church every Sunday, and very much instilled in me all these rules about what's right, what's wrong. And I did have a little bit of an experience, I suppose, or my mom, apparently I was kind of like an accident. So my mom would, whenever she was mad at me, she would definitely point out that she tried to get an abortion, but she wasn't able to. Mm-hmm. So she was stuck with me. So yeah. So that sort of made me think, like, well, good thing she didn't, you know, I'm glad she didn't. And she had some barriers to getting it. Mm-hmm. But But now my views have definitely changed, and I think everybody should just have a choice to do, you know, especially over your, what do you want to do with your body?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Which kind of, I don't know if this makes me think of, though, a scenario with, let's say, the vaccinations, right? Because it's kind of you have a choice to do what you want with your own body, but then you have, we have pretty strong debates over whether or not people should get vaccinated mm-hmm. for the safety of others. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, because those two things could be.
I mean, I guess I don't really know how I would feel about like a vaccine mandate, because I mean, like, kind of like you just said, I mean, it's your choice about what you do with your body. I'm not saying I'm an anti-vaccination person, because I'm definitely not. But I think that's just one of those weird gray areas. I don't think they would really mandate a vaccination, because there are a lot of unvaccinated people in the U.S. I saw a statistic yesterday that 70% of Americans never got a COVID vaccine or never finished the COVID vaccine. Like, they would get the first shot but not the second shot, things like that. I have my vaccines. I don't really know how I would feel about a mandate. But I think currently it is up to you. It's just, it is interesting to think about if it's for the greater good of others, shouldn't that be something you would want to do? Which I feel like kind of just ties back to American culture. And that's something I actually wanted to ask you about growing up in Poland, because in the US, everyone is very focused on, you know, individualism. I think that's one of the issues with the vaccine, is because the vaccine is supposed to not only protect you, but protect others. So did you have a different experience growing up in Poland? Is individualism not so prioritized, I guess? Because I know the US is unique in that way.
I don't know if I have a very accurate sense of like how it was when I was growing up there. I think I saw a lot more support, you know, people in the community supporting each other and being really willing to kind of go out of their way and sacrifice their own resources to help each other because of the tough times. And I think that's what made them kind of come together. At the more power, there was more power to like a community of people. I want to have more experiences with communities, or maybe people out, you know, places outside of US that are more communal. I wonder how that all works out. I read on some things, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Ubuntu, which is like a concept about just creating a community where everybody kind of, there's no money. Money is not doesn't even exist. You're just kind of trading in with each other, and it's a barter system. But everybody's there to kind of be there for each other, and it's like one big family. And I think it originated in Africa. So anyways, things like that fascinate me. But again, one of the things I wonder about, so this Ubuntu is, I think here in the United States, some communities have tried using that system and they failed. So I'm just wondering, or they're not picking up from the ground. They're kind of having trouble sustaining it. So I'm wondering whether it does have to do with, you know, that attitude that Americans have, you know, that individualism, or is it some other reasons? I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that while you were talking. So in Wichita, I think it's been twice over the last like year or so, we've been in a boil water advisory, which is where the water, the tap water is contaminated. So in order for it to be safe to drink, you have to boil it for a minute, or have, you know, you have to get bottled water from the grocery store. And it only lasts for a few days, but we've had that twice over the last year or so. And it's crazy because as soon as they announce it on the news, you'll go to the grocery store. And I was not trying to hoard. I just wanted a pack of, like, you know, 24 water bottles just to get us through the couple of days, you know, for my cats and, you know, for us. And you would walk into Walmart and there would be so many dozens of people with a cart full of cases and cases and gallons of water, when realistically this only lasts for 2 or 3 days. So unless they have a family of like 20, there's no way they would ever need that much. So I think, at least in from my experience, I feel like there are, most people do just have like an every man for himself kind of mentality. And I don't know if that's just in the US, because like you said, in other countries that system does work. And there's more of a community feel. So even being in the Midwest, where everyone is, you know, pretty generally nice, there's still like that, I don't know if I want to say selfishness. In the boil water advisory, it's definitely selfish. because everyone just hoards bottled water. But that's just one of those little things where I'm like, I just hate how selfish people can be. Like, I wish they would leave more for others. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder where that behavior comes from, how it's shaped, you know? And if it's, again, it's shaped by the circumstances of where people grow up, you know, how they grow up and what which behaviors are reinforced for them, you know. And I try so hard to, like, not get angry when I see things like that and just kind of see if I can take the perspective and think more compassionately about that behavior, even though it's annoying and it does seem selfish. Is there anything that you, when you feel, let's say, that angry at, and you feel like somebody's kind of taking advantage of others or resources that they could share, but they don't, is there any coping strategy that you have that helps you kind of overcome it or relate to that person in any way?
In the boil water situation, no. Like, I get irrationally upset because I'm like, why are you guys hoarding all this water? Because Walmart were sell out literally within like 20 minutes of them announcing the advisory on the news. Like, it is ridiculous. So in that situation, no, I just go home and I complain to my friend or, you know, whoever it is. But I think in other situations, where it can be a little bit more understandable, I guess, why someone behaves the way they do. You know, I guess I just try to have compassion, because even if, I don't know, I guess it depends on the situation. If someone is spewing, you know, some hateful, you know, something hateful and being malicious on purpose, I kind of just don't engage. But if someone's coming from a place of like questioning, or, you know, they don't know why X hurts others, or, you know, things like that, I definitely am more compassionate. But no, I do get irrationally upset during the the water hoarding. So
yeah, it's hard. It's hard to, I practice as a behavior analyst. So we do a lot of analysis of behavior as professionals in our discipline, and sort of the general assumption is that, you know, there is no such thing as free will. Everything is determined, right, for you by the environment, by the systems, right? So I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. It's, again, it's maybe that conservative part of me that feels like, no, yes, you have choices. Yes, you do have choices. But then when I study the concepts and what I practice, you know, as a professional, it does make sense to me of how much like environment shapes your behavior, and you're not always even aware that mm-hmm. what's happening to you, you know? So that kind of helps me when I come across some situations like this. I don't know, but I don't know how well it works in application, actually.
Yeah. Your job sounds so interesting. So, like, can I ask, where do you work? What do you do, like, at work on a regular basis? Like, what do you actually do?
Sure. I work in a center, and most of my career, I've worked in centers or hospitals, working with individuals, typically children, who have behavioral issues. So a lot of, you know, children with autism. And we develop treatment, we design treatment. And again, that involves a lot of teaching of skills, communication skills. And again, it's a spectrum of, you know, kids who can't speak at all to really advanced individuals, adults who are highly high functioning, but again, have a lot of just maladaptive type of behaviors, including things like self-injury, assaults, mm-hmm. and things like that. So, we do a lot of, in our treatment design, we do a lot of environmental controls. But what I'm realizing that's not all. There's just human behavior is so much more complex. Just the thoughts, the feelings that we have, I mean, that are not observable, because as behavior analysts, we kind of operate from a standpoint of like, whatever you observe, you know, mm-hmm. is your data. And we go by that, but it's a lot. There's a lot more to that. So I can't say that I'm fully satisfied in my profession. I'm trying to kind of expand my horizons and look beyond what I've been practicing for years. And if I may ask, what do you do?
Your job sounds so interesting, by the way, but also difficult. So kudos to you. I work at a bank. I work in commercial lending. So basically I make loan docs for commercial loans. So someone buys an apartment complex, they buy a restaurant, you know, things like that. So it sounds really boring, but it's kind of interesting. So
And you have to work with people, right? That's that part where
That's the good thing, is I don't interact with customers. I just sit at my desk all day. So
Do you tend to be more introverted, or if that's even, I don't know, some people don't think those are even concepts, extroversion versus introversion. Mm-hmm. But
I am very highly introverted, and I have a lot of social anxiety. So I worked at the same bank for a few years. I started as a teller, and then I was a banker. So, you know, I did loans, I opened accounts, things like that. And I just couldn't figure out why I was so exhausted every day. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it was just customer service was so emotionally exhausting for me because I had really severe social anxiety. So mm-hmm. I love sitting at my desk and not talking to anyone all day, except my coworkers. Yeah. What about you? Are you introvert, extrovert?
Oh, definitely introvert. Yeah. Very much so. But somehow I always am in places where I have to do a lot of work with people. So my clients, the kids, even adults, they're not a problem. It's usually, you know, trying to manage the workplace and get people to motivate staff and resolve conflict. And, you know, I inadvertently end up in these situations, and I don't know why, but I am exhausted half the time. So
I totally get that.
I was just kind of looking at some other questions that I was going to ask.
I'm going to ask a question, if that's okay. We have about 5 minutes left. I'm curious, given both the challenges that you both have talked about experiencing and kind of the challenges of the moment that we're living through in our country. What gives you both hope for the future?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like lately, I can't remember what they call it, but I've just been experiencing like burnout from, you know, the news, from social media, because I feel like every time you log on, it's like another horrible thing has happened, or like a mass shooting, or, you know, another pandemic, because I guess last Friday, I think it was Friday, the U.S. declared another health emergency for monkeypox. And so it's just like all these things, where lately I am burnt out. And so honestly, like I unplug, as selfish as it is. I mean, ignorance really is bliss. when I'm overwhelmed, I unplug. But this conversation has been very re-energizing for me today. So I'll say this conversation.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, initiatives like these, you know, just opportunities for people to engage. And I think is very much what motivates me to keep going and not lose hope. And just being, you know, I love new ideas. And I think that we can create, even in small kind of silos, we can create these bubbles of energy and work on small initiatives, small projects, and eventually it does help. Sometimes it's hard to convince yourself that, you know, just because you recycle, does it even matter if nobody else does? Well, it does. It does matter, I think. It just takes a little bit of convincing, but conversations like these and opportunities like these, I think we can spread the word. I know there are a couple other initiatives that go on there that people organize and try to pull together for different things like environment or whatever it might be, different causes. And you see people engaging, and which is encouraging, you know, because you wonder whether these things survive and help anything. But I think being engaged and participating, so maybe it's a little different from, you know, I do unplug as well. For sure. I have been unplugged for a long time, actually, from social media, and which has helped me also stay more balanced, I feel like. But then I feel guilty about not knowing enough about what's going on. So I unplug, but then whenever there is an opportunity, then I try to get involved, and helps me meet other people. And most recently, having conversations with someone with opposing views is so much fun. So not that I think that you and I necessarily, I think we have so much in common, more in common than different, but that's a great conversation as well.
I agree. Okay, concluding question. Is there anything you learned about me today that surprised you?
You know, I think, yes. I think that when, you know, you might have noticed, I talked about being in the 40s, and I feel like I try to avoid age. I have a kind of this conviction that when I say the number, I then live by it, and I don't want to. I'm getting older, so I'm trying to avoid any sort of thinking about like I'm getting older. So I purposefully try to just again not think about I'm this age, because when I say that, then I feel like I need to be doing things that are age appropriate, and just kind of not thinking about it allows me more to be more flexible. But because of your age, because you are young, you know, relative to my age. I did not expect that you would be so mature and know so much about the world and just like how to navigate and have a really good insight into relationships, how they work or how they don't work, and how you can kind of move on and find what makes you tick. So, you know, if it's stability, that's awesome. You know, for me, it's kind of instability, taking risks, like being all over the place. That's what works for me. But yeah, I think that's what really surprised me about you. And I don't know, what about you as far as?
I mean, I love talking to you today. I've learned a lot of very interesting things. Surprising. I guess I was surprised. We didn't talk about it really at all. But when you said you grew up Catholic, I was really surprised to learn that, you know, you were pro-choice, because I know one of the big Catholic things is that, you know, typically people are very pro-life. They don't really believe in abortion, things like that. So I was very surprised by that. And I've just liked talking to you today. I've loved learning about how you've grown up and your stories. And I have a lot of respect for anyone who immigrated here from another country at any age. So I think you're really awesome.
Oh, thank you. Same. I feel the same. I really appreciate it and appreciated the conversation. I would love to. I don't know if there are opportunities to stay in touch or get any sort of, I would love that. And, you know, same. But I'm not sure how that works.
We can definitely arrange that if you're both interested. Is there anything else that either of you would like to share?
No, I think both of us are introverts. So yeah, I feel like I was nervous coming in and I'm still, you know, it makes me uneasy to be, to speak even. You can probably tell, I tend to kind of be all over the place when I speak, and that's because I get nervous, but